Abner and I were talking about this. If he, you know, hey, these guys just got married. I just found that out. Hey, married. You know, you ever seen a happier couple? They look happy.
So happy.
I know. I know.
You,
it's good. I love you too, man. It's good. Yeah, it's good. See, happy.
So happy.
And I wonder how the Lord sets it all up. You know what happens in marriage? Man, the things of the heart get revealed very quickly. Isn't that right? And what has got, why? Because things in our lives get revealed.
Why?
I was going well until I had a kid. Oh, man. See, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Who do I look like? Who do I look at when I see my kids? They say, my son looks like me. I don't want him to be like me. Who else is he going to be like?
Right.
He's going to be like me. So I better get it right. And yet, we screw them up. They are so short. Why is all this important? Why am I talking about it? Healthy church family don't build orphanages. They build powerful churches that change nations. But if we spend all the time as leaders meeting your needy McNeedersons, feeding your little orphan heart, oh, there, you poor wee pet. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with food banks. You know what food banks is? I've got a love-hate relationship with them. There's something in me recoils about food banks, and yet I know we need them. And you know, if someone comes to me and says, I'm in need, our church, we give 33% of our income away to stuff locally. Last Christmas, we gave £140,000 away to stuff as a church. It's something that we've always done. We want to continue to do that. And the food bank came to us and said, hey, we're really short. Could you help us? I said, sure. But I said, I want to see your clientele list. I want to see the list. I'm not interested in names. I just want to see who's the same people coming. And I want to find out how many people have been coming for more than a year. 95% of their food bank was people who've been coming for more than a year. And I thought, you're not helping these people. And it goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you see, if somebody comes to me and says, I'm hungry, I'll take them down to the grocery store and I'll buy them food. They come to me in a month's time, I'll do the very same. Come to me in 2 months, I'll do the same. Come to me in 3 months, I'll do the same. If they come to me in 6 months, we're going to have a different conversation. My job isn't to sustain their poverty. I am adding to a problem rather than solving it. If I can help them figure out why they need the food in the first place and get them some, you know what I discovered? Most people, they don't want to do it. They're happy on handout. Right, guys, I'm sorry, I'm not going to facilitate sustaining people's poverty. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I sustain your poverty, if I feed your emptiness, if I feed your orphan heart, you know, people come to me and say, I've got an intern, said, he arrived in 3 weeks ago. He says, you haven't encouraged me once. Oh, wow. I says, that's because I don't want to feed your orphan heart. He says, what do you mean? You coming to me with your bowl because you didn't have a daddy. You want me to be like your daddy that you never had. I ain't feeding it. And he watched me encouraging everybody else, and I was being a wee bit cheeky. I was just kind of pushing him a bit. He says, but your job is to encourage me. I said, no, it's not. The Bible says encourage yourself. Let me tell you something. I've learned the only people I get encouraged from now is me. The Bible says stand firm. I in order to be encouraged, I encourage myself. You know what I've discovered? I don't need anybody to encourage anymore for me to feel encouraged. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I've worked some things out. If you need to be encouraged for you to feel encouraged, you don't understand encouragement. Do you see what I'm saying? If we need people to feed something inside of us for us to feel okay, you're giving other people an awful lot of power into your psychology and your health. He doesn't make me happy anymore. When did he become responsible for your happiness? He don't love me anymore. And? I can't determine whether Rachel loves me or not, my wife. I'm past caring about that anymore. I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just trying to show you something. Because it's not about whether she loves me. What's it about? I gotta love her. The only person I can control is me. I can't make her love me. You remember Jim Carrey in that movie? What was it? Bruce Almighty? Yeah. Jennifer Aniston? I want her to love me. He was God. She wouldn't love him. Love me more. Why am I saying all this? Because it's important that you understand something about the orphan heart. If I can help you be a bona fide, fully devoted follower of Jesus, fully understood that nothing inside of you can be fed other than by the bread of life, the word of God. And I'm not talking about the written word of God. You know, 1 John, or John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Have you ever changed that to the Bible? Do you know we've got two words? We got the halagos, the word, Jesus, and we got the written word. And the written word's designed to point us to the halagos, the word. Try changing the word in John 1 to the word Bible and see how you get on. In the beginning was the Bible. The Bible became flesh and dwelt among us. You ever thought about that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible? Churches that have forgotten about the Spirit of God. The Bible is so important to point us to who? The Hologos, the Word. And imagine you stop needing the Word, Jesus, and just be. Imagine we just walk day and night like it was in Eden. You ever thought about that? You see, if you're waiting for Jesus to come back to fulfill your life, you're waiting for death to bring you freedom rather than the cross of Christ. See what I'm saying? Either Jesus solved this or he didn't. I happen to believe he did. How do we walk into it? Got to deal with your wee orphan heart. How do you deal with your wee orphan heart? Well, it's really simple. Let me give you some tools. You ever seen the picture as I finish up of the cross between two chasms? You know the picture where you see a chasm and then you see the cross, and that's how, really powerful, the bridge. And the Bible says if you want to sort something out, well, what must you do? Counselors call it ventilation. The Bible calls it confession. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. But confession's a funny old thing. See, if your dad royally peeved you off and it's living inside of you but you're too afraid to bring it out, it will leak out of you one way, probably on your husband or the man in your life, because we're too afraid to confess how we really feel. But Jesus said you should know the truth and the truth will set you free. So what's the truth? The truth is there's something lying dormant in you that's not resolved. What have we got to do? Well, we've got to confess it. To who? The person that caused the problem. But how do I do that? Going to your dad or mum and telling them how you really feel is not a good idea. Just not endorsing that at all. And yet, somewhere inside of you, you've got to resolve this. Hey, a really good tip. Close your eyes and tell your dad how you really feel about him. Not what he did. Because what he did doesn't matter. You can't change it. No amount of wishful thinking can change it. But maybe if you confess how you really feel, Dad, when you left, I felt like this. This hurt. And then how do we get across the bridge? Well, the first one has to come, well, I forgive you from the bottom of my heart for what you did. And most Christian ministries stop right there. Doesn't fix the orphan heart. All it does it for a little while. And then next year again, when you're triggered again and the whole ventilation needs to be done again and you forgive them again and you go, why? I've forgiven them. I've dealt with this. You know how many Christians come into my office and say, I've dealt with this? I said, shall we check? Usually, they realize very quickly that they haven't. So you got to forgive. The second thing you have to do, and this is key, you have to accept the dad you've got, not the one you want. You see, if I don't like something about my dad and I go looking for it from him and I don't get it, guess what I do? Well, I'll go to church because there's spiritual fathers in there and I'll get it from my pastor. And we have no idea that you want me to be your daddy. And I had someone leave church a couple of months ago. They were there a year. I never broke breath to them. Didn't speak to them. They were kind of awkward when I came around. Sometimes prophets, people get a bit weird, so you kind of, you read between the lines, you know. You read the body language, you go, I ain't touching that one. That's a, I'll stay out of the way. And they left, and they wrote this big email about how much I had hurt them, how terrible I was to them, and what I did on them. I was like, I never broke breath to you in my life. And then I realized this wasn't about me. Who was it about? Their dad. They were projecting their daddy stuff onto me. And until she accepts the dad she has, not the one she wants, she'll keep doing that. See, unless you accept the dad you have, even though he was a screwed up mess, even though he left, even though he didn't give you the time you want, unless you forgive him, accept that, you won't find freedom. And you'll take it to God. See, you'll want God to fill that aspect of your life, but part of the kingdom was that God created family on earth. There's one thing that God doesn't do that he gives each other for. Do you know what it is? Physical touch. It's the only thing that God doesn't do on earth that he gives each other for. Did you know that? And that's part of his kingdom. That's why he gives each other physical touch. It's nothing like a daddy hug when you're a six-year-old kid. But if you go to Jesus for a daddy hug, he won't fill that bit of your life. That has to be dad. And dad fills a hole in your life. You have to accept the man that you have, not the one you want. And then you have to surrender. I'm done fighting with you, trying to get you to be something you can't be. I'm done fighting. Fourth thing, so what? So what have you left? So what have you walked out? So what have you treated me badly? So what have you, if you left? I'm done. And when you've crossed that bridge, those four steps, there's one more thing you have to do. You got to give him love. Whether he loves you back or not, doesn't matter. You can't control whether he loves you or not or changes. It doesn't matter anything. It only matters that you love him unconditionally, whether he loves you back or not. Do you know what that solves inside a person? That, for some weird reason, fixes the orphan heart. And the more that we can do with those things, guess what happens to us? The more we change, the more powerful we become, the more secure we are, the more the home concept. I can go anywhere. If you ask me where I belong in this group, you know where I'll tell you? Right in the middle of it. Have you ever thought about it? Where do you belong in this group? Think about it. Be honest with yourself. Where do you belong in this church or your church in this group of people? I do a little exercise with students, and this will finish up. But I get them to draw circles. And I get them to draw a dot where they believed they belonged in their home growing up. And then we'll get a one for school, elementary school, and I'll say, get a dot and tell me where you belong. Draw a dot. And then I'll go to high school or middle school, and they'll do the same in university or work or church. And you know what I discovered? If you thought you were in the middle in childhood, you were in the middle of every dot growing up. You belonged everywhere. If you were out of the middle but inside the circle, generally, that's how you felt in most places. And if you were outside the circle in childhood, you felt outside of everything as an adult. And it's quite interesting. A third, usually, of a room will feel in the middle. A third will feel in, but not quite in. And a third will always feel out. It's called rejection. How do you get yourself to the middle where the home concept, the place of belonging, becomes important to us? You know, Psalm 68, a father to the fatherless. God sits the lonely in family. You only have one family. Are they screwed up? Yes. Did your parents screw it up? Yes. Are you screwing it up? Yes. But until you accept the people the way Jesus accepted us, because is that not what he did at the cross? I'll take you just the way you are. Even though you're messed up, I'll accept you and love you. And surrender to the fact that that's the way you are. But I love you anyway. It's called the Jesus tools. I'm telling you that because I detect underlying some very strong people in this room who have got wee orphan hearts. And the need in us that drives us will only lead us to meeting the need in us all the time. Needy McNeederson. But imagine you became a resource to people in need. A kingdom warrior who didn't need to be needed, but understood what it is to help people. In a real, true gospel message, to be a disciple of Jesus the right way. Why is this so important to you? Well, because if you want to thrive and grow, you've got to stop allowing other people to fill your needs and allow God and you to step in the place where you go, I just am. I love what I get to do. I love my life right now. You know why? I stop needing anything. It's a powerful prophetic message. Stop needing anything from anybody. Hear me, not even God. I don't need God anymore. Like, don't misrepresent what I'm saying. He sustains me. I need him in the sense that I need him. But I don't need him to feed something in me anymore. I've just learned what God to be. I just am. How do you get there? You deal with your needy McNeederson. Some of you have got daddy issues. It'd be easy for me to sit here and look at you all and call you out. Say, you got a daddy issue. What kind of prophetic ministry is that to expose? I used to do that. Get you into bother. Doesn't work. Some of you got mommy issues. You know, discovered something about pornography and masturbation. I've discovered that most men are involved in that because they didn't have comfort in their childhood, and masturbation becomes a self-soothing comfort tool. And I've discovered that those in addiction generally have an issue with mommy and end up down that road. When you deal with the stuff, the sin falls off. Deal with the negative emotion, fix the love, you'll not sin. Have you ever thought about it? If I told you to go and rob a bank, go try. Go on, somebody go rob a bank right now. Go. What are you waiting for? You actually can't do it. If you think about it, go murder somebody. There's a few people that might cross my mind. I've never been tempted in front and jump in front of a train. I've definitely been tempted to push a few people in front of one. Why am I saying that? Well, because we can't sin. Something's built into us that stops us doing that stuff. Why? That's the glory of God. When you get saved, I don't want to do that stuff anymore. And yet your own hearts, how can you love your neighbor unless you learn to love yourself? Some of you are struggling to love yourself. I see it. It's in the room. Even you older folks have been around a long time. You still struggle with who you are. That little orphan inside of you goes, help! Help! Remember Penelope Pit Stop? Captain Caveman? Did you have that movie, that cartoon here? Help! Did it? Captain Caveman? No. Pugwash, that's the one. Help! Church full of, help! I know I'll be your pastor. I'll come along. I'll fix your problems. Because I'm your pastor. You can talk to me. Here, do you want some money? I'll give it to you. I'll rub your wee wounds better, and I'll put oil on it, and I'll pastor you until you die. Or I die, either way. Needy McNeedersons. That's right. The pastor dies first. You can't pastor need. You can only resolve need. So if you're pastoring out of a sense of I need to save them because I'm trying to save myself, you ain't pastoring right. Or if I'm prophesying out of a sense of worth, I'm allowing the gift to fill me, not the kingdom of heaven. That's a really, really important message, that if you want to be powerful in the kingdom, you want to do this stuff. Jesus understood. He called people out on their identity all the time. We just misread it in Scripture. Poor Peter. I mean, Peter got his identity rattled more than anybody else in Scripture. I mean, how many times did Peter get called out on his identity? Who do you say I am? You're God. You only got that from the Father in heaven. On you, my rock, I will build a church. Next sentence. Get behind me, Satan. True identity in Christ means we walk the kingdom of heaven, knowing who we are, not needing anybody else to give us something in order for us to know who we are in Christ. True identity is the best prophetic message I can give you. What's your true identity today? Yeah, you all know you could quote the scriptures upside down what God says about you. Yeah, God says this about me. God says I'm this. God says that. Great. Jesus asked an interesting question. Who do you say I am? If I have seen you, who have I seen? Jesus said his Father. When I look at you, who do I see? Oh. Who do you look like? I look like my dad. Got the characteristics of a mother. Who do I hate being like? My mom. Drives us. Hey, I haven't planned to teach that. Just some conversation today, and I felt the Lord on some of that. It's a deep message. But it's a very important message. The Lord loves his church too much to leave us the way we are. And we need to have a revelation of our identity, our true kingdom identity, our inheritance, in order to solve the things of our heart. And God's determined to see his church pure and spotless. Not just because he made it that way, and he did, but because somehow we have this revelation of who we're meant to be. If you've got hurt and pain inside of you, it's probably because you've got hurt and pain inside of you. And if it's unresolved, it will bite you daily, and it will leak out of you in a way that you'll not even know how to fix. And God wants you to be healed, restored, and delivered, and walking in the fullness of God. Church was never meant to be so serious. And this is a serious message. But there's a fun answer. Let go. Stop walking in it. Admit it and quit it. Oh, I've tried that, John, 1,000 times. Can't do it. You're right, you can't do it because the motivation isn't what you think it is. Motivation is something else. You've got to start looking at your drivers. What drives you? People tell me they're depressed all the time in the church. I don't see too many depressed people here, thankfully. But if you're depressed, you're on antidepressants. It's because serotonin and dopamine in your life is gone. Do you know how serotonin and dopamine stops getting produced in your mind? Because you feel helpless and hopeless. If any time in your life, for a sustained period of time, you felt helpless and hopeless as a child, that is why you're depressed. Because those two emotions slow down the production of serotonin and dopamine. And you go to the doctor, and what does he do? He fires serotonin and dopamine in the form of pills to help you out of it, to restore your life. But what's best, that God would deal with the helplessness and the hopelessness? You see, if I feel helpless, I go to God. He's my hope. You're right, he is. But if your mom and dad were meant to be your hope and they weren't, who do you have to resolve? God's not the problem. It's your mom and dad. God's calling us into this place. And I think it's a message that the church has to get smart about. How do we help people restore? How do we help people get free? How do we help people walk in their true destiny and their true identity? That's the calling of the church. It's a prophetic voice. And we don't help the church figure out how to deal with mental health. Church is useless for the future. Because I can tell you, see what's coming in the door right now? Yep. It's going to be sore. And if we don't have the right answers to give them and help them, hand them the Bible and saying come to the prayer meeting doesn't do it anymore. I wish it did. I wish it did. You got to start way back. You got to start here. Your identity. You got to start here. Who do you say I really am? That's an amazing question. Who is it that you say you are? Come on. What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about your parents? What do you believe about God? What do you believe? You know, don't give me the hyperbole. You know, spiritual hyperbole. I'm so fed up with spiritual hyperbole. I'm a child of God. Yes, but you're also a child or not. You're not also a child of your parents, who you hate. I don't hate my parents. Yeah, you do. You just don't want to admit it because we're brought up in a church or a religious system that says honor your mother and father. So what do? Well, we hide all the bad stuff under all the good stuff. And we pretend like the bad stuff isn't really there. And then what leaks out of us? All the bad stuff. We need to get smart about how to do this. I do want to do this. If you specifically came through a divorce in childhood, I want you to stand up. Leave the childhood, because an adult knows how to deal with that. A child doesn't. And I'm going to hazard a guess that for the most part, you guys will have had identity issues, struggled with belonging, struggled with family, and struggled with rejection. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just saying that I know trait. And you will always struggle to find a place to belong and of value. Why? Because no kid ever thinks their mum and dad are going to break up. And it steals security. And I want to minister to you guys just for a second, if you don't mind. Is that okay? I want you to close your eyes for a moment. All of you just partner with us. Oh, sorry, there's a few more over here. That wasn't looking. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to see your dad in front of you. Or your mum. Whoever was the reason why the marriage broke. It might have been both of them. I want you to see them for a moment. Close your eyes and look at them. I want you to think for a moment. What pain is in you because of that? What loss is in you because of that? What hopelessness is in you because of that? The sense of belonging got fractured in childhood. If you could be honest with your parents, what would you say to them? I want you to take a moment and tell them what you really feel. Not out loud, just to yourself. Now, I want to show you something. If there is anger, pain, hurt, resentment, and damage that you've just thought about, probably means you need some healing. Probably means you need to do it, because that stuff will leak out of you everywhere. And I just want to pray that God would give you the courage to find the place where you can forgive them, accept them as your parents, accept that they divorced, accept that they broke you, and that somehow you don't have to be defined by what they did all those years ago anymore. So Father, right now, I pray for revelation and insight to true emotions of the heart, to reveal the heart within these folks, Lord, because of divorce. And today, Father, that you would release grace, peace, and hope for a generation that have been orphaned because of divorce. Regardless of the rights and wrongs of that. Would you bring your peace, Jesus, today, in Jesus' name? Amen. You can be seated. I suppose it's supposed to be a prophetic conference. I'm not sure that was much about prophecy, but it's a life message that I've had that I feel somehow we got to keep preaching this stuff, because somewhere inside, pennies drop. No. Do you have pennies? You do. Cents drop in people's minds. It's like coins go cha-ching. When I teach this stuff, I go, oh, that's why I've needed that my whole life. And I went to God to fill it, but it never quite filled the need, because it wasn't God's job to fill it. It was your dad's or your mom's or whoever broke it. Fix the broken love with the person who broke the love. And Jesus gave us tools to fix it. You with me? personal responsibility for your own life. In a world of entitlement, you know, this generation has gone and got itself. They value their thoughts far too highly. God said, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. And we've become so entitled and so doesn't work. By the renewing of your mind, you will know good and pleasing will of the Father.